Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is truly, mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's good. And His return is soon, imminently. I love Him. The Lord our God thinks of everything. I always say that. It always amazes me the things, concepts the Lord gives me for His people. And the concepts he gives other people, the revelation that he helps us be alerted to. The key to learning from God is to be a student. When you're a student to the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot of times people focus that we know we can pray for anything we want and receive it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. So, people ask for things according to the condition of their heart and the portion of understanding they've received. A person that never had much, if they can ask God for anything, it's going to be something, it's going to be provision. More prayers are spent on provision. And then when it happens, people, you know, that's something people can see. God can easily cause us to prosper. Prosperity is very simple and easy. There's a time for prosperity. It's important. And there's a time to deal with the emergencies of life. There's a time to grow, and there's a time to learn. But when you ask the Lord things that pertains to how this life works, if you get a firm foundation of the understanding, if you get a good understanding of the foundational things, you can build your life better. Provisions amaze people sometimes. Some people will look at it the other way. They'll say, well, that's just wrong. You know, they'll think it's wrong. It's not wrong. God prospers himself. It's not wrong to prosper. We are prosperity. We're designed to promote prosperity in every way and in every category, in our the health of our relationships. The wisdom of God will solve the relationship problems. The wisdom of God will give us key understanding in how to win souls, how to be a blessing, how to consider other people's needs. You know, the proverb said that words that's fitly spoken, they're like apples of silver on pitchers of gold. I mean, it's just beautifully fit. You know, David must have saw that somewhere. I mean, who could imagine something like that? But the word of God is so fitting. Job said that after talking with the Lord, you understand double than you did before. And it's important. Now, I love the Lord, my God. He teaches me how this life works. As a young minister, when I was first starting out, and he called me to the ministry in 1987. And then in 91 and 92, those were the years I learned the most from the Lord. I began to learn from the Lord in 1990. And I kept drawing near to the Lord. And you know my testimony, if you listen to these broadcasts, that he prescribed scriptures. He told me to read 15 chapters per day. And I would not go to sleep until I finished those 15 chapters. The word gave me a reference so that when he speaks, I can receive it, capture it. You know, receiving the word of God, sometimes you have to win a battle just to receive God's word, because when the Lord speaks, the enemy tries to interrupt. Why, before you have a grasp on what the Lord said, even though you know what he said, Before it can be faith in your heart, you have to receive it. He tries to interrupt the reception process. The wrong teachings, wrong things, problems can hinder you from hearing God's word. Even I noticed that when people get in pride, sometimes when the Lord gives you something, it came to you as a grace. And I've seen people, they seem to be jealous of it. And if they get provoked, their attention is on being provoked, and they miss the point of what God said. Anything that hardens your heart can hinder you from receiving God's word. Any kind of problem, even a temptation, can hinder the way you receive God's word. It goes right back to the parable of the tares, and I mean the parable of the soils, the different time, not tares, but the soil. The parable of the sower. There were four types of ground. If your heart is hardened for any reason, you won't receive the word of God. Some people have stony ground heart soil because of temptation. Another person may have a stony heart because of greed. Another person may be pride. These are the things that harden your heart and you can't receive the word of God. Anything can hinder you at any time. Sometimes people, normally their heart is soft and they can receive the word of God. But if something aggravates them, their heart is harder and they won't receive. People that have a good heart, sometimes they're challenged. If they're under frustration, their heart hardens with it. If they're busy at work and trying to concentrate, and you tell them something the Lord said, they might be aggravated. They may not receive it. And the Holy Spirit helped me to realize these kind of things and wait until the person is in a hearing mood. And then speak, and it works. People got saved because of that. Because I yielded to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit know when to say what. If your spouse is aggravated, that's probably not the time to tell them what the Lord said. Hear them out. Get them talking. Let them vent. And sometimes people don't even want solutions at various times. But when they become receptive, then tell them what the Lord has to say. Wisdom. Nevertheless, when their hearts are hardened, you can tell them what the Lord said, but they won't remember it. Because the enemy will steal it. Because they didn't receive it in their heart. And then some revelations are different. People, they see things a certain way already. And that would challenge the way that they receive God's word. But one thing that will always work is living the light of God's word. And when the way you live, it's a light all by itself. The integrity you live in, the word that you keep, when you show people you care about them, that will always work. A teaching don't always get, even anointed teachings don't always get over the way you want it to. But when you live the word of God and when you speak his word according to his counsel, especially the timing, you can win souls. But sometimes people spend so much time and energy on trying to attain what they want or what's important to them. Here's the balance. Go forward and win the things that's important to you. Do it, because every time you learn how to receive from God, it helps. It helps you to know him. The only thing I would say do different if you're not doing it is put more energy in receiving what God brings to you. Draw near to the Lord. Let him speak. Welcome him to speak to you. and unfold his word to you. Welcome him to do that. And then, when he does, whatever he brings to you, the prophets used to say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what is the Lord bringing to you? Put that on the, keep it on the top shelf. Seek to do that. Receive the words that pertain to what the Lord is bringing to you, his perfect will for you. Ask for it. Don't rush. It's going to work out. It's going to, the knowledge that he gives you, that this is what I want to see people do. Everybody can do this. Anybody can do it that wants to. You don't have to be a grand preacher. You don't have to be an apostle or a prophet. You don't even have to be in the fivefold ministry. Any Christian can do this. Just draw near to him and pay more attention to what he has to say to you. And be faithful. It may be something very simple, but it will make the day. You're going to learn something you can't learn as you act on those things that God reveals. And then everything that's important to you, go ahead and believe him for it. Everything you want to know, go ahead and believe him for it. Whatever your interests are. You know, the proverb said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Yield your understanding to the Lord. He's got you. He's going to protect you. He's going to help you. He's the paraclete. He's going to guide you into all truth. It said, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Even in simple things. Now, these are the decision-making process. Keep God in the loop. Now, whatever you're going to wear for work or whatever, you know, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You don't have to ask every little detail. You know, if you got clothes, wear them. He just said, be modest. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. The greater decisions. The big decisions. If you're interested in getting married, if you got somebody in mind, you're thinking about marrying them. You don't think you need to ask the Lord about them? He knows that person. People see what they want to see, and they try to ignore what's not. Those you really need a conversation with the Lord about who you're interested in. Before you make a lifetime covenant. I taught my children, I said, three things you really need God's guidance. Who you marry, what you do for a living, and where you live. If you choose a career that you're not happy with, it's going to affect you in a lot of ways. You're not going to be as happy. You'll wish you did something else. If you choose a career that you thrive in, that you love doing, you're created for this. That's a better choice. The city you decide to live in, the neighborhood you decide to live in. If it don't feel like home, it's not a fit. I was looking for a house, and the Lord said, when my peace comes on you, you don't have to look anymore. And the house that I bought was not the kind of house I was looking for. I wanted a basement. But when I walked in the house, I liked it. The peace of God was on me. We looked at the house. It already had a pool. I just wanted a place that I could put a pool. I was going to build my own pool and deck. But it already had one. And it had the two-car garage I wanted. And they had just remodeled the kitchen and they put double pane windows all in the house. And the peace of God came on me. I like the way the land is. And on the way out the door, my wife said, well, we don't have to look anymore. She said the same thing God said. And it's not the most magnificent house in the world, but I like it. And I like where I love the location. And I'm not far away from one of the best churches in the world. Well, I love my church and my church family. I'm not too far from the parts stores I shop at. I like where I live. It's quiet. When you follow God, these kind of things fall in place for you. If you just listen. Now, when you're about to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life, you really need God's counsel. But beyond all that, this is a day people are dying on the vine, and that's not necessary. If people walk in their anointing and listen to the Lord, I've been listening to Jeremiah chapter 23. I listened to it all day long. And I kept hearing things that's necessary in the body of Christ. The pastors that Jeremiah was talking about in verse chapter 23, they didn't acknowledge God. They didn't seek his counsel. They did what they wanted to do. They listened to foreign gods from other countries, from Samaria. They became something God couldn't use and had to judge. But he said he would send his people, pastors that love him and watch out for him and help him grow. But when you don't seek the counsel of God, you cannot help people the same. The Lord will anoint you for what you're faithful doing. In other words, when he gives you something to do, the anointing is in it. When he tells you to do something, you have an anointing to do it. You have his ability to do it. But it grows, it develops by faith, by faithfulness in the direction that God gave you. If you start a new path, it's not going. The anointing won't work over there. When Paul was sent to the Gentiles couldn't do anything with him because he was anointed to minister to Gentiles. And he stayed in the path of God's perfect will. But when he deviated and went to Jerusalem, he went to jail. And the way he got out of jail, he appealed to Caesar. He went back to the Gentiles. Gentiles couldn't do nothing with him because that's where he was anointed to operate among. He was not anointed for the Jews. Peter had that. The Jews couldn't do nothing with Peter. Peter was sent to the Jews first and also the Gentiles. He had anointing for both. Paul had an anointing for the Gentiles. These are his words. He was not anointed for the Jews. You go to the Jews, you go to jail. He's in jail, he's in the courts, and he appealed to Caesar. Now, once he appealed to Caesar, they said he might have been let loose, but no, he was not anointed for them. The wisdom was to appeal to Caesar. And that's what he did. And I believe he got it from the Holy Ghost. See, that put him back in the Gentiles' court. He could handle them. You have to pay attention to God's guidance. He thinks of everything. And they couldn't kill him till he finished his course. It was impossible for them to hurt him until he finished his course. Every time they beat him, he'd heal. You know, in his persecution discourse in Corinthians, Brother Harden pointed out that he never mentioned being sick. And I thank God for Brother Harden. you can hear him on the website in the older Sunday school when he was going to the church. He said some of the most amazing things. Good brother, I love him. Nevertheless, people said that he struggled with an eye problem. He did not struggle with an eye problem. His thorn in the flesh was the Jews. And everywhere he went, the Gentiles and the Jews would stir up trouble. But he overcame it. The damsel that had the familiar spirit. God gave us a blank check. His grace is sufficient for us. What's included in the grace of God? The word of God, the knowledge of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is a grace. Authority over Satan is a grace. If you don't use it, God's not going to use it for you. He gave you a blank check, you write it out. Now you give God a blank check. Endeavor to do all that he say to you. That's the path you're going to learn the most. When you're in agreement with the Lord, you're walking with him. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Agree with him. Understand that you can learn more than you used to. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean more to his understanding than yours. You don't have to get rid of your understanding until you see that it's no good. But the understanding that's good will be revealed by the light of his understanding. The things he show you, the intricate things of life that he show you. Now, he didn't spell everything out. He gave me a direction to go in, and as I went there, I learned things. And as I learned things, I did better and better. I said, oh. He would give me a word, and I used to tell people the word when they were frustrated sometimes, and it didn't work. I just didn't know. I had to learn. And then I started paying attention to the Holy Spirit. How am I going to do this? And sometimes the word would be there. I could feel it burning in my heart. The tone that I spoke the word, a soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes I had to do it then. The anointing was for that moment. I had to do it. Well, but when people are frustrated, just wait. The goal is to help the person, not just to spout out a word, prove you smart. We're complete in him. Everybody's smart. Everybody, God has given everybody a great gift just in their creativity. They're born with it. Some people waste it, but they have it. Storm it. We were designed to live forever. Death is not something that's in our that God did in the first place. So Adam was designed to live forever. So there are gifts inside you that will always surface over time. This is true for everybody. And because the wisdom of God, if he designed you to live forever in his image, there are treasures that will surface in you from now on. The problem is people are interrupted by death, but Jesus solved that problem. You're going to live forever somewhere. In hell, you can't prosper. You can't go forward. But in heaven, you're going to see that these creative abilities are in you. The fact that God made hell in the first place is because there's no limit to how wise you can become, how strong you can become, what you can accomplish. You're made in his image. Every soul, every person. In 1,000 years, a man, if he develops in the path of sin, he'll be worse than any monster. God had to make hell to lock that down. But on the positive side, there's people are without limit. They can do something. They can receive a grace that can benefit the whole body and the world itself. And I know this. I don't believe in being in pride against people. I like to stir people up. I like to see people at their best ability. And I don't care if they do better, greater than me. I want them to. In fact, I wish that people would grow so much that I'd be the worst preacher God got. And I pray that I do all that's in his heart. I want to do everything that he say well, to the best of his ability in me. And I wish everybody could do even greater. That's just a desire. So the next generation should do much better. And if they don't, then I fail. The people that I minister to, if they don't do greater than me one day, then I fail. Or they just didn't receive the word. But if they receive the word, they'll do greater than me. That's how it's supposed to be. God thinks of everything. Get on board with him. You'll see what the old preacher's talking about. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.